Thank you very much. Sweet Sorghum has received sweet sorghum juice, mainly sucrose, but also glucose and fructose has received a renewed interest as a feedstock for bioenergy and bio-based products in the past several years, with a few bioethanol plants dedicated to sweet sorghum popping up mainly in Florida, and these are some of the company websites that you can go to for more detail. But bioenergy is always very complex, not only in terms of with respect to the gas price, but also changes in national policy and strategies, like China now banning the gasoline car for electric car by 2020 that we have all been talking about. And in the United States, in order to call something renewable fuel or biofuel, the entire pathway going from the feedstock type to the production process to the final end product or fuel type needs to be approved by EPA. And this renewable fuel standard program homepage is going to give you all the details about EPA's approval process. But regardless of future of biofuel, chemical method is always on demand, both for breeding, for the feedstock breeding, and also for the factory monitoring the processing at the factory, at the biorefinery. So that's what I have been doing at the ARS lab in New Orleans. I have been developing different chemical methods to evaluate the quality of both sweet sorghum juice and biomass feedstock using samples collected from field experiments in at the ARS lab in Tifton by Jono, this guy. And he does a very good field experiments while I get to stay in the lab and develop different chemical methods. But I visit the Tifton field experimental site every year, and what I learned from visiting the field site was that a lot of things that agronomists do in the fields are visual, and that is why we have started this year using imaging method. So this is a thermal camera or temperature camera that is going to give you temperature information in every pixel of the image at less than 0.06 degrees Celsius resolution. And this, so we are looking at back of the sorghum leaf colonized by sugarcane aphid. And first, if you look at the scale, the temperature difference is as much as 10 degrees Celsius within this image. And looks like the area that's colonized by the aphid has a slightly higher temperature compared to the rest of the leaf. In addition to this temperature or thermal imaging, we have done hyperspectral imaging for the chlorophyll mapping. So this is for the same back of the sorghum leaf. And just by indexing the chlorophyll wavelengths to some normalizing to some reference wavelengths, we can map chlorophyll quantitatively with a green region showing higher chlorophyll content. And if you're looking at this and thinking this is just one leaf, that's useless, I want to be able to compare hundreds of different leaves, that is no problem at all. I can take hundreds of leaf images like this, concatenate and compare the chlorophyll content across hundreds of different leaf images. So the imaging method appears to be quite useful, but because I'm a chemist, I want to explore something more basic or fundamental. So I'm going to talk about electrochemical method now. So we can think of cyclic voltammetry in our head in analogy to battery operation. So cyclic voltammetry is going to tell us if the electron transfer reaction is reversible or irreversible. In other words, is the battery rechargeable or single use? And at what potential in voltage does my sample get reduced or oxidized? And finally, what's the capacity of the battery? Or how many electrons are stored in my sample? And this EHPH diagram is always very useful to understand the chemical structure responsible for the electron transfer reaction in any particular sample. And the line below is thermodynamically, not kinetically, thermodynamically capable of reducing or donating electrons to the line above. And generally, the compounds, chemical structure having greater aromaticity, higher amount of conjugated double bond, and therefore having higher resonance stabilization, is more electron rich and have lower reduction potential that is going to translate into very useful applications like antioxidant activity. So we can look at the cyclic voltammetry for the sweet sorghum juice and also biomass samples, bagasse, leaf, and pinnacle, and we are looking at the current in y-axis as a function of voltage. If we are going towards a positive direction, anodic direction, and to make sense of all these different interesting shapes, I have decided to use Gaussian filling of the peak that is going to tell us the peak anodic potential, EPA, that is going to tell us how easily a particular sample is getting oxidized. So everything gets harder and harder to oxidize as we go towards right. So the peak anodic potential is the voltage at the peak, and the integrated area is going to tell us the capacity of the sample or how many electrons are stored in a particular sample. And when I compare the shape of the cyclic voltammetry for the sweet sorghum juice sample with model reductants like catechin and hydroquinone, what I noticed was the position of the peak for the sweet sorghum juice overlap with catechin and quercetin. So we should suspect the chemical structure that is responsible for the redox reactivity of sweet sorghum juice to look more like quercetin and catechin having multiple benzene links, condensed structure, and not like hydroquinone having only one benzene link. But sweet sorghum juice is, of course, a very complex mixture of both organic and inorganic species, and it's not going to be just a mix of one or two known chemical structures like those. And that is why fluorescence technique is very useful to understand the chemical structure of redox active species further, because generally, both the excitation and emission wavelengths of the fluorescence increases as a function of aromaticity of the compound, as very nicely shown in this reference, going from amino acid and all the way to chlorophyll. So when I applied this fluorescence technique to the sweet sorghum juice sample, more than 100 samples collected from the field experiments based on 23 different cultivars over 2 years with 3 replicates each, I have obtained these 3 fluorescence fingerprints based on a statistical analysis called fluorescence EM parafac. Based on the emission, excitation emission wavelengths over the peak, this appears to be the aromatic structure that we have been looking for. So we should suspect this second fluorescence fingerprint to be the redox active species in the juice. And it turned out the contribution of this second fluorescence fingerprint increased from 2015 to 2016 planting year based on the ANOVA P values. And at the same time, the bulk reduction potential of the juice decrease as a function of time. So to summarize this table of p values that is probably too small for everybody to see, we have concluded the following in terms of the time trend from this 2015 to 2016 planting year in the redox reactivity of sweet sorghum juice. First, we saw an increase in the aromatic fluorescence EM parafac fingerprint and decrease in the bulk reduction potential of the juice, as well as an increase in the capacity or the amount of electrons stored in the juice samples, all of which indicate more reducing or electron-rich nature of the juice in 2016 compared to the previous year. And at the same time, we saw a decrease in the concentration of primary products, sugars, mainly sucrose, but also glucose and fructose, and increase in the secondary products, especially organic acids and salts. And all of these observations would lead us to conclude that the sweet sorghum juice feedstock became more electron-rich in 2016 compared to the previous year by accumulating byproducts, especially polyphenols that we can actually see as bright red purplish color when we are cutting the sorghum stem in the field. So to conclude my presentation today, I want to show this redox ladder of sweet sorghum juice constructed based on p-values. And without going into too much details about this redox ladder in the unit of EPA, the peak anodic potential in voltage, I want to re-emphasize that the key reductant or electron donating species in the sweet sorghum juice look more like this than this. And this structural attribute, the multiple aromatic ring, polyphenolic, highly reducing structure, has a very important practical applications ranging from antioxidant activity to pest resistance in the field. So that is the end of my presentation, and thank you for your attention. So sweet sorghum is, the juice is very unstable, so it's immediately converted to syrup. But that's, our goal, of course, is to utilize this in the factory for the feedstock evaluation.
Yeah,